WBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, Irish fans. This is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me is Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer. And we're going to recap Notre Dame's loss to Purdue as the Irish start 0-5. If you have any comments or questions, you can post a comment on domeanddomer.com or send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Okay, some positives to hang on to coming out of the loss to Purdue. Let's get things started with just talking about what some of the pluses and minuses were from the game against the Boilermakers. Brammer, let's start with you. Give me a plus from the game.
Well, obviously, 426 yards of total offense. I mean, we outdid Purdue in that category, so you gotta like that.
Okay, all right. Offensive production was up a little bit, particularly in the passing game. Ed, give me a plus from the game.
I think Golden Tate as a big play, big strike, game breaker kind of person. I thought George West played really well. So those are some pluses.
Okay, yeah, I would throw in there the development of both quarterbacks, both Sharpley and Clawson, you know, did show more poise, more ability to make some plays. So I think offensively there were some things to build on. Most of that took place in the second half. Brammer, let's go back to the comment about the offensive production. What stood out for you? Any personnel or moments in the game where you thought, hey, we've got something going here?
Ed alluded to it, but I really thought Golden Tate, I mean, two of those catches had to have been two of the most athletic catches I've seen from a Notre Dame wide receiver in 10 years, outside of Smarja and Stovall, of course. But going back behind those two guys, I mean, I really, you know, I've been watching a couple other games, just, you know, and I'll turn the TV on. When you watch Clemson, when you watch Florida State, when you watch some of these teams, you see some really good athletes, guys that just seem to play at a different level, speed-wise, coordination-wise.
Okay, you thought Tate gave us that kind of guy, the same?
He does. I mean, you look at those catches, and those are two ridiculous athletic plays.
It wasn't just against Purdue. I mean, he's made a couple other grabs like that.
Yeah, he's done it. And that's a kid that he's played – you know, played tailbacks in high school. He's been a wide receiver for about 2 months.
I think,
you know,
that's why he's not in there as often, and hopefully that will change. I'm sure he just needs some polishing at the wide receiver position. Weiss alluded to the fact that he sort of ad-libbed some of those long passes to Tate on the sidelines.
The other thing I did like, and I just think this is a huge point in the ball game, was we're down there on the two-yard line. Ball gets, you know, down. Zbikowski standing at the 10, lets it bounce right at the 10. And I would disagree with him there. But in any event, the ball stops 2 yard line. We come out. Immediately you're thinking, oh, my God, we're not capable of getting 1 yard on a fullback dive. We're going to have to do that twice in a row to get us some space. And what does he do? He drops Clawson back. And out of the end zone, 5 yards deep in it, he takes his time, waits for Grimes to come open, and then drills him.
Okay, yeah, I think Clawson showed a lot of poise there, but you got to, like, this is Charlie Weiss's style, is, you know, he does not pull any punches. He's going to come and attack you, whether it's fourth down on your own 30, whether you're on your own 2 yard line. Ed, is that for good or bad? I mean, can you live with that, or does that sometimes make you scratch your head a little bit?
The problem is he doesn't have the personnel to do that consistently, and it's been blowing up in our face a little bit. He's an NFL guy, and you make your living in the NFL by throwing the ball. Nobody makes their living in the NFL by running the ball. But with few exceptions in college football, you have to have a running game. And it's been a long time since we have anybody who has a commitment to the running game and maybe really understood how to.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the different, you know, the favoring the pass versus, you know, being a run-dominated team or a pass-dominated team. I'm talking about his gunslinging mentality. Go for it whenever you have to. Wherever you are on the field.
Now, again, you got to know your team and what you're capable of. And if you go out there gunslinging and going for it at times that are just going to put you in a hole, then that's how you get blown out. That's how you don't stay in games. You know, staying in a game, keeping it close when you're the underdog, when you don't have the horses, and then hoping for a turnover, a big play late in the game – swing the momentum your way. That's a way to win, too. Not always say, hey, I'm the gunslinger. I'm going to go for it on every fourth down. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to put it up. We don't have the horses to do that.
I was just curious as to whether or not you guys like that gunslinging mentality. Ed, that seems to be a minus for you, that Charlie threw it from our own end zone and went for it on the fourth downs. That's a minus you take away from the game, it seems.
I don't know. It's hard to say that because we actually converted some pretty dramatic fourth downs. But you think about if we don't convert those fourth downs, then we've given the ball up with our back against our own end zone and Purdue rips us.
Did we have any chance with the defense that didn't have a heck of a lot of success, although got better as the game went on, did we have any chance of winning when you give them the ball back after, very quickly? I think Weiss felt like our best bet was to retain possession and not punt it to him. But, again,
maybe he felt like the worst thing to do is to put our punting team on the field because that's blown up in our face the last few weeks.
Well, I tell you what, making the move with Jeff Price sitting on the bench was very interesting, and I thought we punted much better than when Price was in there. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not sure who was punting for us, but Jeff Price was not. That much was clear. Okay, let's talk about obviously we got beat by two scores, and although there were some things to hang our hat on, there were more minuses than positives. So let's talk about the minuses. I'll start it out with two things. One, again, no running game at all. Ed, you mentioned that briefly about our trouble with that over the last few years. And secondly, the defense really didn't keep us in the game particularly. Well, even as I say that, the defense's red zone was not bad. But there were so many plays where we gave up 8-10 yards on first down or big third down conversions that we gave up.
This is not a shutdown defense, okay? This is not a closing down, low scoring kind of defense. But you gotta admit that they've showed more guts than the offense and have been put in horrible positions. It's just ridiculous positions. Half of all our opponents' drives start on our side of the 50-yard line.
Yeah, it's absurd.
I would say that they did play very well in stretches, though. I mean, think about the start of the second half. I think Purdue went three and out three times in a row.
Well, Zbikowski's interception kind of got us going. And then once we started going, the defense did get some stops. But, again, don't these two things go hand in hand? Did the defense's improved performance, was that a result of the offense getting into a rhythm, or was it the other way around? It doesn't really matter. The two things go hand in hand. And for us to have an effective defense, the offense has to control field position, has to get, give them a blow here and there. And conversely, the defense getting three and out and getting some field position for the offense helps that group. So it really, the two things have to complement each other, and that hasn't happened this year.
No, and there was two things that I really was disappointed in. First and foremost, the 3rd and 29. How many times have we seen that where our inability to stop them, especially in a situation like that? I mean, I like Walls, and I like the way he's been playing, and I really didn't have a problem with some of the calls against him. I mean, he was getting after it with Orton, and I really thought that, it's 3rd and 29, he's in bump and run. I don't even know if I necessarily have a problem with that, but you have to assume that they're going to go for the first down, and so keep everything in front of you. And if anything, know that the safety is going to cheat at least to the best wide receiver they got, which is that kid. So you knew, at least guess-wise, the ball's going to go there.
Anticipate. For one, I think his technique and his assignment in that situation was disrupt the route, the line of scrimmage, be physical, and then get in a trail technique with that receiver, make the quarterback throw it over the top of you because you've got help over the top with the safety. The safety never got there. I'm not sure. If I fault Walls, and I don't really know what his assignment was there, but if I find fault with Walls, I think he was needed to be more physical at the line of scrimmage and disrupt the timing of the route. The guy got essentially a clean release. He was on the line of scrimmage, and he whiffed. Purdue kid got a clean release. Walls barely got a hand on him. Go back and look.
I don't think it was that clean.
It was, and that's what I saw.
It was poor individual technique, Mike. You're right about that. But I agree with Brammer. What the heck were we doing with him in his face on 3rd and 29.
What we're doing with him in his face is trying to disrupt the timing of the route so the kid doesn't stay down the field.
Disrupting the timing of the route is a low order of priority on 3rd and 29. It will take plenty of time for him to get 29 yards downfield for you to be able to get your defensive rush on. You don't need to disrupt the timing of his pass to give you guys that. I think that was a huge mistake.
I think you're absolutely wrong, Ed. Orton basically, takes his 7-step drop and threw the ball. If you disrupt the timing of the route, he's got to hang on to it. He threw it in rhythm because nobody disrupted the receiver getting off the line of scrimmage. And, you're not going to keep it in front of you 29 yards deep. You can't keep it in front of you. At some point, you would have turned and ran with the guy. Okay? We had help over the top that never got there, and I don't know why.
On 3rd and 29. Why are you giving up the over the head? Why even give that up on 3rd and 29? Or if at least you're the free safety, you got to assume that that's coming.
There were two safeties on the field, and the safety to that half of the field obviously read the play wrong, but I'm not going to fault Walls or the call.
I'm not necessarily fault Walls, except that I think that knowing it's 3rd and 29, you just assume that they're going to try and go for the first down. Assume that the ball is going to be thrown far enough to get a first down.
What makes you think he didn't assume that? He ran with the kid.
He's on the line of scrimmage and let him get by him, and he ran behind him. I mean, that's what I'm saying is why not start your back pedal right away?
The kid's going to run past him. I don't care how fast you are. If you're in a back pedal, the man running forward is faster than you. He's going to run past you.
No, you turn and immediately. Give up the short pass and turn.
You know what? You probably know more about it than Bill Lewis does, so I think you should put your resume in.
How many third and longs did we give up against Purdue versus the
game? Most of them were on penalties.
A lot of them were, but the fact of the matter is if you look at third and long throughout this entire season, you're going to see more than not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's right. We'll check that at the end of the season. I mean, I can't agree with you now since the season hasn't been played, so we'll have to come back and check that one later. Now, speaking of things we have to check later, Ed went on record in the aftermath of the Purdue loss and in his despair, and I think it was after I kicked his butt in golf as well. Ed went on record as saying, mark it down, I'm going 0-12. Mark it down. That's what you said, Ed. And do you want to... You want to publicly say that, or are you going to recant?
No, you twist everything all the time.
I twist it. Mark it down. We're going 0-12.
This is what I'm going to say it right now. This is for the World Wide Web, okay? This is what I'm saying. Hear me now. Believe me later. Ready? We have a 50-50 chance or better of going 0-4 this season.
Oh, that's okay? A way to put yourself out on the line, Ed. I'm not sure what that means.
Okay, what do you think? I think it's a better than even chance that we're not going to win a game that is going out on something. What do you say?
Well, I think we're going to beat Boston College and win the last four games. I think we're going to get to 5 wins. That's a specific prediction.
You're on.
I really do think that this – yeah, I would say this. I do think that this second half could be the turning point in the season for us. I mean, there was some –
you know what,
very
guys? I tell you what. Everybody's saying that, and I hope it's true. I hope to God it's true. Obviously, we got positive yardage. All that's really good. But, remember what we said also, that we're probably playing a defense that is not as physical as the defenses we played and the defenses we will face. And the unforced errors, shooting ourselves in the foot, multiple special teams breakdowns during a game. We can't run for short yardage. We can't stay onside.
Ed, we know that there are a lot of problems with this football team. None of us are saying that we're a good football team. What we're saying is that we anticipate.
None of those things got any better.
The other things did. And I expect to see continued improvement throughout the rest of the year. And what Brammer's point is the second half is going to be a launching point, a foundation for future success next year and beyond. I agree with that. You think we're going 0-12, and that's the difference between us. Now we're out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up. But I want everybody, haven't seen this, go to the homepage of ND Nation and click on the article titled "Going Back to Miami," and it is a very interesting comparison between Butch Davis's third year at Miami and Charlie Weiss's third year here. If you get a chance, go read that. Okay, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football. From some of us are fans, and also from Ed's perspective. If you have any comments, post them on domeanddomer.com or send us an email, info@domeanddomer. We'll be back again on Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by Mike Coffey of ND Nation for a further look at the Purdue game, the improvement, what it means, and what direction this football team is heading. Until then, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.